This week, an open letter co-signed by Ban Ki-moon and two former NATO Secretaries General urged NATO powers with nuclear weapons to sign the Treaty for the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. Nine countries now hold nuclear arsenals, almost double the original five. Russia and the US are the obvious main players, with each of those housing close to 7,000 nuclear weapons. The next highest arsenal belongs to France, with just 300. Jem Romold is the Australian director at the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. She spoke to Spencer Fulgrabe about what this new treaty could accomplish.
So the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons is the first treaty to clearly outlaw nuclear weapons. It outlaws their possession, stockpiling, production, testing, hosting, use, and the threat of use. It also outlaws any country from assisting, inducing, or encouraging anyone or any country to do any of those acts that I just mentioned. And it was created in 2017 and is moving swiftly towards the point of entering into force, which is great news. Currently, 84 countries have signed on and 45 have ratified, which means that they've gone through all of the processes to bring themselves into line with the treaty, and that when it enters into force after the 50th ratification, it will be binding on them.
And what's the difference between this treaty and the non-proliferation treaty that is already in circulation?
So the nuclear weapon ban treaty is consistent with the non-proliferation treaty, and it builds upon it and actually goes further. So there's nothing in the non-proliferation treaty that outlaws the possession of nuclear weapons for all countries. It sort of sets up a bit of a bargain whereby it says, here are some countries that have nuclear weapons. You know, they're supposed to disarm under Article 6, but they're recognised to currently have nuclear weapons. And all other countries are supposed to not get nuclear weapons in exchange for having access to nuclear technology for nuclear power. So the non-proliferation treaty, it's been very important for slowing the proliferation of nuclear weapons to other countries, although it hasn't completely stopped it because there used to be five and now there are nine countries with nuclear weapons. But the ban treaty actually goes further and sets the same standard for all nations, and it says that there are no acceptable hands for these weapons.
What are the indications that this treaty will receive its 50th ratification?
Well, we're happily in the middle of a disarmament race at the same time as really concerning developments with other agreements governing nuclear weapons. Happily, this treaty is moving towards the 50th ratification pretty swiftly. We know that at least a dozen countries are currently working hard on getting their ratification processes done. So it's beyond doubt that we will reach that 50th ratification, and we could reach it within the next couple of months. After that 50th ratification comes in, 90 days later, the treaty enters into force. And of course, countries will continue to sign and ratify after that point. But once it enters into force, it means that then there will need to be the first meeting of states parties, and that could be as early as next year. We know that it will just help the treaty to grow stronger and more influential over time. And that pressure on countries that haven't signed or ratified will continue to build. And we hope that that will impact Australia, and that in due course, the Australian government will also sign and ratify.
Speaking of the Australian government, the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade stated that Australia won't sign the treaty as it has not included a state in possession of nuclear weapons in its negotiations, among other reasons. They seem to think that the treaty isn't going to work. How would you respond to that?
I mean, the current Australian government really dislikes this treaty because it puts Australia on the spot. Australia likes to present itself as a country that wholeheartedly supports nuclear disarmament and is fervently fighting for a world free of nuclear weapons, while at the same time, in reality, we have in our defence policy a line saying that nuclear weapons protect Australia, which only serves to legitimise the weapon and to give them some kind of important place in our world. So we think the change will come about here.
How do you think the countries that haven't signed the treaty yet might be convinced to do so?
Well, I think once the treaty enters into force, there will be extra obligations. The obligations on the countries that have ratified will be binding. So that means that countries that have ratified will be required to work to bring others on board. So this will become something that is spoken about and held up in international fora as the best standard for countries that support nuclear disarmament. And I think that any country that wants to do the right thing regarding weapons of mass destruction will be convinced to come on board. It will take years before the first nuclear armed state comes on board, but at the same time, it's certainly not a foregone conclusion. And in some cases, it could just mean a change in leadership that shifts the political landscape and makes change more possible.
Jem Romald from ICAN, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. And she was speaking to The Wire's Spencer Fulgrabe.